Welcome, Tuesday, April 4th. Linda forgot to turn on the recording, and we've just had a wonderful opportunity to share an issue that Dorothy's 10-year-old dog has had. So we're in the process now of sharing. So continue, Teresa.
Okay. So what I would like to say about my picture when we see dogs coming is changed by Kalika, I'm with you. I'm thinking about telling her. And when she gets stiff because she is scared about the other dog, I stay with her and I do some tiger touch on her body. And I can feel how the tension is just less. And she looks at me and I get the distance. I believe this is so important that she gets enough distance to cross other dogs. And we really improved the situation. She is now 6 years old, and I hope that we can go on many years without this situation. But we really had, in this place where I live, bad experience. And for me also, it was quite tough because I was scared. And I had to work on my situation of stress. And we got trust in each other. We go through together. That's what I wanted to share.
Thank you, Teresa. And I have a question for you. So does that mean that there are loose dogs that can attack you or other dogs? So
in our neighborhood.
So what can you do to protect yourself? Because our energy is really great. And in this case, when you have dogs that will attack your dog or you, this is a very dangerous situation. So there are things you can do to protect yourself. What could that be?
Well, actually, the situation is that our neighbor thinks that he has all the rights, and he is a very aggressive person. And I almost said, listen, I will, I will go to the police, and it's very dangerous because he is, in a sort of way, he is not very intelligent, but he is dangerous. And I just told him that's the last time that your dogs, they are poor dogs, they are in a kennel, that they never go out here, that people keep their dogs not for going for walking with them and doing things. They just keep them. There's another dog, it's a Saint Bernard, you know, the big one, was nice one, turned also in a bad situation. But as you know, with people, sometimes as neighbors, it is not so easy to talk.
But wait. Yeah. There is something I would suggest, because your life, your health is in danger. So there is something that you can do. I mean, this is the question. Would it be allowed? And maybe you'd have to talk to the police, but I would be carrying a bear banger. And all you have to do, it's a little thing in your purse. You just aim it. It's what we did with lions in Kenya. And it doesn't hurt them. Mm-hmm. You just aim it at the ground in front of them, and it makes a huge explosion.
Okay. But you know, as Kalika is very sensitive, she and if she is with me, so she would get, but what I thought to take a little spray of pepper. It doesn't hurt. It just hurt. I mean, it's not a problem, a long-lasting problem. But anyway, for the moment, it is okay. They keep their dogs. But you always a little bit with this thing. Are they just around the corner? So I go for many walks outside from here. Today I was on a very nice place where the dogs are free, they can walk, so she is coming back normal. And but as Dorothy says, you know, you really have to forgive yourself too for what you did, you didn't know before. So you every day is a new day, and we can start. And so Yeah.
Well, let's talk about it a little bit more, because I think it's not. I would talk quietly to the police and just tell them that you're, so they're warned ahead of time and you can't say anything. Sorry. Mm. So who was next? I think it was Debbie, right?
Actually, Sage had her hand up before okay. Mine.
All right. Great. Go, Sage.
Where'd Sage go?
Unmute, Sage.
There's that part. Thank you. I had a variety of experiences with my dog Java, who brought me to the T-Touch work, and also with our dog Reggae. I'm thinking about even just yesterday, we had a woman come to the house that was replacing a water filter, and we live out in the middle of the forest, and Reggae is great with greeting people. And when people come, when people come to the house, similarly, he can get mouthy. And so one of the things that I've done, he defers to me. So he'll look at me, and I use a bone that he puts in his mouth and he carries it around. And then I also make sure that he has direction. So I'm encouraging him to sit or lie down. But just having something in his mouth has been really helpful for him, because just having somebody come to the home can be stressful if you live in an environment where you don't often have people coming. When I take him out in the world, he loves everybody. But having strangers come to the middle of the forest, he may bark, he may get a little bit concerned. And so the bone, you know, putting a bone in his mouth, and that helps make him feel safe, and also having the person coming to the house feel safer. And I think too, having knowing that we have a responsibility, that when we say yes to bringing this animal into our homes, we have a responsibility to keep them safe and to keep others safe. So it may be putting a dog in a different room or in a crate, or I know with Java, I use the calming band and also a basket muzzle. So using just the calming band, and again, I would agree with Linda, you know, having an intro class too. So I'm thinking about Java specifically, because she was the dog that brought me to this work, and she had a lot of concerns about really anything that moved, people or animals or a leaf falling off of a tree. And I just told a client last week, I said, T-Touch was the only thing that worked for us. We tried every single other thing, and it was the only thing that worked. And I have a client just this last week that has two very reactive dogs, and I'm steering her toward T-Touch. And real basics, working around the muzzle, if you're able to, inside the mouth, working the whole body and down the tail. With my dog Java in particular, she walked almost like she was on stilts with her back legs really stiff. The body wraps were really helpful for her. And then also for me, working only up to my comfort level, and then sometimes just past that. Because if I was stressed, it wasn't helping her out. So I had to learn how to be calm, even if she was feeling concerned about something. And I remember a moment later in our time together, and this to me was, it was a moment, but it was kind of the culmination of years of doing T-Touch work with her, both the touches and the groundwork, you know, leading exercises. But she often would react to something moving outside of the house. So barking at a window, for example. And I remember walking past a room one day, and she turned her head to bark, and she went. And she just took a big inhale and a big exhale and made a different choice and was quiet all by herself. And to me, that was an incredible culmination of her learning how to self-regulate. So it's a combination of, for me, it was setting boundaries, only making sure that I had the responsibility. I was responsible for caring for her and setting healthy boundaries and not putting her in situations that she may not be able to handle. And the same with Reggae, just like the lady coming yesterday. I know him, and I know that he can get nervous with workers coming to the house. So a Kong with peanut butter, putting something in his mouth, and then he's just fine. He's got that just kind of classic lab, like shove a toy in the mouth and then he just walks around and wiggles and he's okay. So those are some ideas and some stories that I have.
And Dorothy, what Sage just said, if you do put her in the crate, explain to her that this is to keep her safe from somebody overly enthusiastically wanting to greet her and not realizing that she's a little concerned about it. So that's where you give the Kong with something. You put her in the crate, she gets something delicious. But also explain to her why you're doing it. And don't feel guilty. Feel that you're taking responsibility as, you know, the parent of this situation.
Yeah, the crate to her is security, so she'll go in on her own.
Yeah, but it's still nice times. To give her something extra in this case.
Yeah.
And explain why you're doing it. Because I'm telling you, they do understand what we're thinking. We're just so blind to what our animals feel and know with us. I'm in a state of amazement, you know, at how much they understand. So who is next? Debbie?
Well, Dorothy, first, I appreciate so much your sharing this so we have the opportunity to talk about it, because it, you know, it happens to so many people. And I think it's so easy when you have house guests. You know, we're distracted. It's a different situation for our dog, so they may react differently than we expect them to. And, you know, so many things can happen so quickly. And you already know that she enjoys people and she wags her tail. And I think it's also important to remember that sometimes dogs wag their tails when they're not happy. And I think we all grow up learning, oh, a happy dog wags their tail. But I like to think about dogs wagging their tail a little bit like people laugh. Sometimes we're laughing when we're not happy at all. We may be trying to joke ourselves out of a difficult situation. And so, you know, how she wags her tail, you know, looking at her whole posture may be more communication for you. And so this is where using the T-touches to help release tension in her body may give her more possibility to think and make a different choice. I love Sage's story about opening your mouth to bark and then going, oh, wait a minute, I don't have to do that. You know, I love that. And that's what we see so often. You know, that's what we see with using the calming cap or anything else. It starts to give them space to think and make a choice instead of just react. And so when something happens like her nipping, then sometimes, you know, it creates fear inside of us. And we think about, oh, how can I stop that? Which, you know, leads to the muzzle. And there are a lot of different ways that you might manage her to keep this from happening besides the muzzle. And I think a muzzle can be a really good idea in some situations. If you're walking down the street and she sees a dog that she normally is okay with and she's upset, it gives you the feedback that she didn't really feel safe with it, at least in that situation. So I think having the opportunity to observe her more and maybe anticipate, you know, this might be a difficult situation for her. How about if she goes to her crate with something wonderful a little while or whatever you might be able to do. So rather than stopping her from doing what you don't want, you can look at how can you create what you do want for her to feel safe and comfortable in these different social situations. And again, as Linda has suggested, a little bit of information about how to use the T-touch harness or different things to improve her overall balance could be helpful for you in some situations. But for sure, using the touches, and I know, you know, we all get busy and I think even just a couple of minutes at a time, and not just using the touches with her, but really noticing which parts of her body does she love it and which part would she say, no, thank you right now. Because you might find that around her mouth, she's less interested, or maybe around her tail. A lot of dogs that have concerns are a little sensitive around about the tea touches around their tail, and letting go of that tension really, really helps them to begin to think and respond instead of reacting. And then you have more ability to help her feel safe. Because I think a lot of behavior we see from dogs, I really feel like they're saying, I don't know what to do. And especially dogs that bark a lot. I think that sometimes dogs are saying, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. And then if we, you know, say, no, stop it, then it doesn't really let them know that we're there for them. And I think that it builds so much trust when we can communicate with them on a different level and say, you know what, I think this is hard for you. Let me see what we can do to support you to feel safe and make a better choice.
Thanks, Debbie. And this is so interesting, all the choices that we have, the different techniques that we have with tea touch. And so, Valentina?
I have an ear work story, but it's not about dogs. So if you want to wait and come back to that, just let me know when you want to do that.
Let's see if Anna has something to do with about dogs, and that may be where we'll... I'll finish this part and then we'll go with the story.
The magical thing for me when I was little, I was like, dog, like God? What? And then all of a sudden in 2010, I became an usher at, I've taken the ferry over to Seattle from Bainbridge Island in the Northwest here. I became front house usher at the Benaroya Hall. So I got to hear, obviously, all music, working with all children, elders, all ages, and all National Geographic. And around 2017, this amazing couple, I want to say they were at least in their 40s, 50s, wonderful photographer and a wonderful woman who always worked with animals. And they created, I want to say 3,000 square yards. It must could have been bigger, but fence. And they had the most amazing group of wild wolves. And what they talked about, telling the whole story of just watching their relationships, that every dog, no matter what hybrid, has the exact DNA of all wolves. And you got to remember, when they grow in that relationship, they're always in a pack. And they communicate by barking. That's their communication. And in the past, some of them are guards, you know, and some are the teachers. And when you study wolves, you begin to understand they're communicating and how we begin to relate to this idea of how we even communicate on the planet and our evolution. So I'm so glad about the wrapping and helping them feel safe. And at the same time, hopefully they have another friend with them that's four-legged. Because you gotta remember, we're rarely four-legged. If we got down and, you know, they were jumping on us, because dogs are, I always have to remember, I have to make sure they can smell me. If they're with the owner, I have to say, is it okay? And some are barking, some want to jump on me. And I always respect, because I know they're here trying to figure out how to live on this earth without being with their four-leggeds. And I'm not saying, I love everything everyone's saying, because this is vital for, you know, these four-leggeds, our cats, this whole relationship of being, if we were always on our hands and our knees and feet, we might have a different relationship to the way we relate to our environment. So again, I'm not trying to make anyone wrong. I'm just trying to say it makes me cry sometimes, because I know when they're barking for communication. And I mean, I love that thing about the ears. I've learned so much by being around, and I know I need to do more study about wrapping. And I'm really looking forward to doing more things around dogs and cats, because I've learned so much
And I had this cat that's 22 years old, still alive and now purring when I show up, just because of the way you've taught me to relate to a cat in a way that I've never known how to.
Great.
So again, I'll be quiet, but remember, our dogs are here to pack up with us.
And what a thank you, Anna. And one of the things when, you know, that for me is really basic, when a dog barks at somebody coming, if we thank them and let them know they did their job and then say, thanks, we got it. So they get rewarded for that. And they also are relieved of the responsibility of having to do more than that. So thank you.
But when you think about them on the four legs, the way they hear things way beyond what we even hear.
Okay, well, let's
they feel the vibration. It's magic.
It's beyond that because they can feel what we're thinking. And
I will go along with that because I agree. The calmer we are, the more we breathe before we go out.
Okay, so we're going to go on. Thank you very much. Thank you. So, Marnie, what do you have?
Well, there are a lot of T-Touch things and people have said some really great things, but that was the wrong thing. I wanted to just say that sometimes there's a practical way that might be useful, is that if you have a friend that has a dog that they're comfortable with, kind of Anna was on the track there, that maybe you can walk with that dog and friend. I'm not saying you have it at the house with the calm dog that they can model because the dog is at a loss at what to do. And so maybe that's a way, part way of moving forward. And a huge part of that is doing breathing exercises with yourself and the dog to get yourself in a parasympathetic mode, because you can't ask a dog to do it if you're not. And it's hard, but a friend that's, you know, with a calm dog might be a very practical way of moving forward with it.
Thanks, Marty. And especially after you've had a few more tools, so you really have some knowledge about what you're looking for, which would be great. So let's just take a break here before we go to Valentina, and let's all thank our dogs and cats and horses and deer and all the other animals who have brought us together in this way. And just think about what we can do with the energy of our positive thoughts going out into the world. And I'd like each person to think of something, some subject that you'd like to just send out to the world, something with hope in it and support. I'm going to send it out to Mother Earth and all of her beings. Mm-hmm. And just invite each one of you to do that. Your choice of where do you want to send hope and peace and gratitude out into the world. Bring in the smile to activate those amazing hormone serotonin. And really lightly move the tissue, your skin, to activate those trust hormone, that trust hormone, the oxytocin. And let's just send now a cascade of light from your hands into your body. And pick some place right now that maybe you're questioning, some place that is not feeling as safe or as flexible or something you're dealing with, and just imagine light being activated within your body, that amazing cellular intelligence, that divine consciousness in every single cell in your body. Smile at it. Send out for all of you who came to this class, you know, to the tea touch for you from an animal. Send thanks to that animal or those animals. So now let's shift our focus. And Valentina, a tea touch story from ears. I have another one. You have another one.
Yeah. Yes.
Whoa.
An ear story. But do we, and I just had a wonderful quotation that I just came across this morning that so speaks to me about our classes and our Tuesday get-togethers. I wanted to share it, but how about on my clock, it looks like we're coming up on the hour. What if I share the quotation and then we have our break and then come back and I'll tell the ear story? Does that work for you?
Yes, it's perfect.
Okay. So the quotation is from Albert Schweitzer. And kids, if you don't know about him, go to Wikipedia and you will be elevated when you read about this man. And here's the quote. At times, our own light goes out and is rekindled by a spark from another person. Mm-hmm. Each of us has cause to think with deepest gratitude of those who have lighted the flame within us.
Wow. Could you...
Oh, God, please don't. No, don't ask me to put it in the chat. Okay.
So what we'll do, if
my
you
typing will, is so bad.
No, don't worry. Don't worry. I'm just going to do it. We'll give it. We'll start a break. It's, according to me, it's 51 minutes before. So we'll come back at, is that 1 minute after? let's give us like a few more minutes so we can get something to eat, drink, stretch. No? And so we'll come back at five after the hour, wherever you are. And I'm going to stop the recording and then you're going to give me that quote and I'm going to put it in the chat. Okay, let's stop the recording. All right.